two mitzvahs that we associate with the Yom Tov of Sukkot, actually a few more mitzvahs, that apply to the Mishnah Shekayim, Mishnah Marav, etc. But in terms of the two mitzvahs that we speak about in the Yom Tov of Sukkot that are relevant for us, of course, the mitzvahs derais of Sukkot and the mitzvah derais of Lulav. There are certain similarities between these two mitzvahs, and there are certain important differences between these mitzvahs. We get a little bit of a sense as to some of the halachas that govern both of them, and then some of the differences between them. There is a strange opinion that appears in the Sefer Sukkah that we have to not to pass in like, that says that these two mitzvahs of Sukkah and Lulav are so linked to one another that even the Schach is governed by the Dinim of Dalaminim. It means that when you make a Sukkah, so the only thing that's kosher for Schach, that's the Dafka Dalaminim. It's got to be Dafka, you have to put palm branches on top, or rubbers, or Hadassim. If you've used bamboo, so then that wouldn't be acceptable for Schach. So that was Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So the Gemara says that nobody passes that way. We don't accept that view. The Gemara says we follow the view that in order for Schach to be kosher, so as long as it meets the basic criteria of Schach, the criteria of Schach is that it has to be something which is Gedulah Min Ha'aretz, it has to be something that grows from the ground, and it has to be something that's no longer attached to the ground, and it has to be something that's not Mekabel Tumah. As long as it has those three conditions, so then that's perfectly okay, even L'chadchila Shul B'chadchila. So nobody follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. How in the world did Rabbi Yehuda come off to such a shita? Where did it even come from? Why would anyone think there's any connection between the two mitzvahs? So the Gemara has a kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yehuda said that the mitzvah of Sukkah is more chomer than the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, because the mitzvah of Dalet Minim is only by Yom and not by Laila. Kachta Mechem Yemarishon. So you only do the mitzvah of Dalet Minim in the daytime. Because the mitzvah of Sukkah is much more chomer than Dalet Minim. It's the mitzvah of Be'yom Be'yom Laila. So Madach Dalet Minim, which is so kal, and it's limited dafka to these Dalet Minim, you can't use other Minim. So Hu Adinami Sukkah, Kal V'chomer, Sukkah, which is so much more chomer than Dalet Minim, for sure requires a dafka these Minim. I would have said such a Kal V'chomer, you would have left at the Kal V'chomer. Haley Tana Rabbi Yehuda had such a Kal V'chomer. So the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Yehuda that the Ikaron, your Kal V'chomer, is not a bad Kal V'chomer. That makes sense. After all, there's a hierarchy. Sukkah is not more chomer than Lulav. So Lulav is so chomer, Lulav is so chomer that only these minim are good. Other minim are no good. So Kal V'chomer Sukkah should require dafka these minim. So what was the problem with the Kal V'chomer? So the Gemara says that the Chachamim had an issue with the Kal V'chomer, not the Ikaron. Kal V'chomer is not a good Kal V'chomer. But there's a midah in Hilchos Kal V'chomer that whenever you make a Kal V'chomer, you have to always make sure that you're ending up in the right direction. So let's say we're trying to show that Sukkah is more chomer than Lulav. That's the point of the Kal V'chomer. So what would the din be if a person couldn't find Dalet Minim? So could you use bamboo? So according to the Kal V'chomer, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, don't use bamboo. You can't use bamboo. So we're telling you, don't eat in the Sukkah. We're telling you, you're not going to have a Sukkah to eat in. So that's what's called the Kal V'chomer Shetchilos L'Hachmer V'Sof L'Hokel. It means you're using the midas Kal V'chomer and ending up in the wrong direction that you want the Kal V'chomer to go to. So whenever you have a Kal V'chomer that ends up in the wrong direction, that's not considered to be a good Kal V'chomer. So those who remember Maseches Pesachim, that's who was Maseches Pesachim. Remember, so that was the same Rabbi Yehuda Nachom Neshitasa by Ein Bi Chametz Ola Sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda also had a Kal V'chomer that you have to destroy Chametz Nafka through Sreifa. So the Chachamim responded and said, no, that's a Kal V'chomer that's going to end up a Lekuma. Because if you hold it, you have to destroy Chametz Nafka through Sreifa, not through other means. If you don't have a fire, if you don't have wood to make a fire, then you're going to end up not doing anything. So you're going to end up being Nekil in the destruction of Chametz. So whenever you have a Kal V'chomer that starts out as a chumer and ends up as a kula, that's not a Kal V'chomer. So whatever it is, the mice, we don't follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. We pass in that the mitzvah of Sukkah can be done with anything. But even though we don't accept the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the lemaisa, that distinction that Rabbi Yehuda was highlighting, that the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav is only by Yom and not by Laila, whereas the mitzvah of Sukkah is Be'em Yom Be'em Laila, that is true. That distinction is absolutely correct. Whether that affects the Kal V'chomer, that's the subject of Machlokes. The two facts on the ground, the Lulav is only by Yom and not by Laila, and Sukkah is Be'em Yom Be'em Laila, that's for sure true. How do we know that there's mitzvah of Sukkah Beim b'yom beim alayla? If the Torah says the Sukkah station should be yomim, so why don't we have a drasha of yom v'lo leilos? The same way we have a drasha of yom v'lo b'alayla by Netilas Lulav. So the Gemara says that no, there's a special gzeres hakosuv that Sukkah is beim b'yom beim alayla, because it says by the miluim, says at the end of Parshas Tzav that Aaron and his sons are told teishvu shivas yomim layla b'yom, that they have to sit teishvu shivas yom layla b'yom. That pasuk is in Tetzaveh, or is that in Tetzaveh? Yeah, pasuk is in Tetzaveh. Teishvu Shivas Yom Laila V'Yom. So since there it says a lashon of Teishvu, Peish for Shivas Yomim, and there it says Beferish even the Leilos. That teaches us that the mitzvah of Sukkah min haTorah is Gzeir Shavas. Halacha Moshe Mesina teaches us that the mitzvah derais of Sukkah is Beim Yom Beim Laila. Even though there's clearly a mitzvah derais of Sukkah Beim Yom Beim Laila, there is a little bit of a difference, or a big difference, between the mitzvah of Sukkah as it plays out on the first night of Sukkot, in contrast to the rest of the week of Sukkot. When it comes to the rest of the week of Sukkot, so there was a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim as to how much a person has to eat in the Sukkah. How often must a person go and eat in the Sukkah? So Rabbi Eliezer said it has to be teshu, you have just as all year long you eat two meals a day. Most normal people eat morning and night. Lunch is a modern day invention, but in the old days people like to do this boker v'sukkah erev. So too, every day of Sukkot, you have to eat day by yom by malayla. You have to have one meal in the morning, one meal at night, in order to fulfill teshuva kein tadur. So the Chachamim disagreed with that. The Chachamim said, teshuva kein tadur is not a mechayev, teshuva kein tadur is a poiter. That teaches us that just as if a regular day, you want to skip repish, you want to skip supper, you want to not eat that night, so that's fine. So who would deny me? A person could skip a meal on Sukkot as well. There's no chiyuv to eat in the Sukkah. If you want to eat, then you have to eat in the Sukkah. But if you choose not to eat, then you're not chiyuv to eat. So comes the Gemara and says, Yochi afilu laila risha nami. If that would be the case, then the first night you should also be potter, because teshuva kein tadur should be chal on the first night also. So that's what the Gemara says. No, there's a special gzeiras also. That's gzeiras shava of chamisha asa v'chagim matzahs. Just as by Pesach you have a chuyev to eat in the mechuyev to eat matzah the first night of Pesach, so too you have a chuyev to eat in the Sukkah the first night of Sukkot. So that's a whole new story. So now basically what the Torah is telling us is that Sukkah is nei beim yom beim laila. And the truth is that the chiv of Sukkah on the third day of Chol HaMoed is the same chiv as the third night of Chol HaMoed, that's for sure. But when it comes to the first night, that's a whole different parasha. So we spoke in the past a lot about this. Just the Kitzah Nimrutz, it's a big machlekes in Rishonim, what the nature of that chiv on the first night is. Is that nature of chiv on the first night of Sukkot, is that basically the same mitzvah of Sukkah? It's just that the Torah is presenting us two parts of the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah of the whole week of Sukkot, which is a reshus in the sense of if you want not to eat, you're not mechuyev to eat. And the first night is b'teres chiyuv. It's basically the same mitzvah. There's one mitzvah of the Torah called the yeshiva b'sukkah. Sometimes it's b'teres reshus, sometimes it's b'teres chiyuv. But you say, no, that the mitzvah of sukkah is always b'teres reshus. The phrase teshuva kein tadur always governs the fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah. It's just that on the first night of sukkah, there's a different chiyuv. It's a new chiyuv again. It's not yeshiva b'sukkah. It's called the mitzvah of dubi de matzah, dubi de chag pesach. There's a new halacha that you have to eat in a sukkah on the first night of Sukkot, but it's not really a din of teshuva kein tadur. It's not really a part of the regular mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So that's a very long d'shemach like it's with a lot of important opinions Medina, but a kol panim, everybody agrees that when all the dust settles that there is a special kiyum on the first night of Sukkot. What the lomdus is a question, but everyone agrees there is definitely something to some degree different about the first night than the rest of the week. But in terms of each subsequent night, then there's really no difference between the yom and the leilos. Again, in contrast to lulav, where there is a very, very real difference that the mitzvah lekachta b'chamei yom harishon is only by yom and not halayla. When the Torah says that there's a mitzvah of lulav by yom v'lo b'layla, so what exactly does that mean? So does that mean, the Torah says lekachta b'chamei yom harishon, you have to take lulav on the first day. So halachically, the day really begins at the night, as we said yesterday about Yom Kippur. Every Yom Kippur, halachli ve'yer ve'yivak Yom Echad, the day really begins at night. So do we say that basically the night of Sukkot is also, there's a din of Matilas Lulav. Matilas Lulav is Naveya from the Bayam Arishon. Halachli, it's the Tesvav day of Tishrei. So basically the mitzvah of Matilas Lulav really kicks in the night before. Elawa, the Torah says that Lamaisa, the way to fulfill Yechiv, you can only fulfill Yechiv once the morning comes. But you're basically a mechuyev b'dov already at night. And this mana mitzvah is really a 24-hour period. It's just as a technicality that the only time you can fulfill your chiyuv is only b'shas ma'aseh when the sun is shining. We have to alos shachar. Is that the pshat? Or is that, that's silly. What does that mean? It means the mechayev of Netilas Lulav is not the beginning of Tesvav Tishrei. The mechayev of Netilas Lulav is the morning of Tesvav Tishrei. L'kachtul chambiyam arishan, when it becomes yom, and Alos HaShachar comes, so that's minatara, the beginning of the day, so Alos HaShachar is the mechayev of Netilas Lulav. It's very long to Shashayla. What's the mechayev of Netilas Lulav? What's the moment on the clock that's mechayev of Netilas Lulav? Is the moment on the clock, tzitzki chavim, of the night? Ella, just a technical mice, you can't fulfill the chiyuv until the morning. Is that the pshat? What's the pshat? No, that the chiyuv only kicks in the morning. So that's a funny type of a chakira, where sometimes you have a mitzvah where where there's a mechayeh, there's something that technically, theoretically, academically creates a chiyuv, even though lamaisa practically you can't do the chiyuv until a certain delay reaction. So we spoke a lot about this last year about a different mitzvah. Who remembers? We spoke about pidyon haben a lot about this. Pidyon haben is a funny mitzvah because the baby's born and you're not really supposed to do pidyon haben yet. You're supposed to wait. You're supposed to wait till the end of the 30 days. So the 31st day, that's when you do a pidyon haben. I just was at a pidyon haben on Friday. So we know the Sfarim tell us that a pidyon haben, a person eats at a pidyon haben, so you get tzchar, ki'ili, you get 84 tainiyos, because the first two letters, the pidyon, is pay dalet, so somehow it's connected 84 tainiyos. That's a lot of tainiyos. That's a lot of... this year, so I was at the pidyon haben during the Sesame Tshuva, but a couple of years ago, I had a pidyon haben in Motzei Yom Kippur. It was really, this man was on Yom Kippur, and they had a kid to pidyon haben Yom Kippur, that pushed off to the next day. So I commented that I'm rolling in terms of tainiyos, because the Gemara says that an Erev Yom Kippur, a person who eats, is ki'ili yom mis'ana. On Yom Kippur itself, I was obviously mis'ana, and then on Motzei Yom Kippur, I get 84 tainiyos. It means I sachak get 86 tainiyos within a span of less than 72 hours. That's a pretty good cashback in terms of tainiyos. Unfortunately, my calorie intake didn't necessarily reflect that notion, but in the spiritual realm, that was the case. So getting back to Pidyon haben. So in Pidyon haben, you have a strange thing, because on the one hand, the baby is born, he's a Bechor, he's a Peter Rechem, and the Torah says, no, not so fast, don't do the pidyon so fast, wait, 30 days are over, then and only then you do the pidyon of death. How do you understand that? So do you understand that the baby's birth is nothing? That's not a Mechai of a pidyon of death. It's the 31st day, and the 31st day arrived, that's the Mechai of a pidyon of death. The birth was a Lamalma, the birth was a technicality. You can't reach day 31 until the baby's born. So the baby has to be born, but the birth is lamalaf lamerit in terms of the creation of the chiyuv of pidyon haben. What do you say? No, that basically the mechayev of pidyon haben is really the birth of the baby. He's a bechor. He's a pet kaddish likol bechor pet karech neishol whatever. He's this kaddish kudush bechor, whatever that means. He's chayev and pidyon haben right away. But the Torah says for some technical reason you gotta wait. You gotta delay. So Rashi and Bava Kama says, what's the technical reason? Because you want to make sure the kid's not an Eiffel. So the Torah said, hold off the pidyon haben for a little. Make sure the baby's really, really alive, that he's not going anywhere. So wait for the first 30 days just to be ascertained that it's not an Eiffel. But the Ikaron, Rashi learns that the real Mechayiv, the Shas Chiv of pidyon haben, is a latest Haben. So we spent a whole sugi about that last year, right? About what's the nature of the din of pidyon haben. Because again, you have these funny kinds of Zmanim that intuitively we would have thought that the latest Haben is the Mechayiv. Kids are Petarechim, he's the Skadish, etc. Like a Bechor Behemet Tahora, it's Niskadish at the time of birth. Once it comes out of the Rechem, it's Niskadish. So too, the pigeon of Ben, the did of pigeon should be Chal right away. And the Torah says to wait. So is the waiting telling us that the Staka no Chiyuv yet? Or is the waiting telling me that there is a Chiyuv, but practically speaking, we're going to put it on hold? My Nafkamina, if you remember, we learned the Sugi as a pigeon of Ben last year. So we said there seems to be a Nafkamina. In terms of shibudim, it means the halacha is when a person is chayiv in pidyon haben, so they happy to be on my mind because of Friday, so I'm still taken away. So when a person becomes chayiv in the pidyon haben, not only do they have to give the money, but then the chasim become a shubud to give the money, and the kohen can come and collect from beis and go and collect from the person in the chasim. So let's say if a person became chayiv in pidyon haben, then they went ahead and sold off all the nechassim, or then they went ahead and they died and they left the nechassim Yerusha. So those nechassim are meshubad in pidyon haben. So we had a machlekes last year, machlekes around the tour, right? Remember that? Because the Rambam of the Torah, what's the moment of truth? At what point does the Shibud Nechasim kick in? So the Rambam said the Shibud Nechasim kicks in at the time of the Leidas Habayim, and the Torah said, what does the Leidas Habayim do with anything? The Shibud Nechasim kicks in after 30 days. So we explained, that was the Machlekes. What's the nature of that relationship? We have these two Zman. So you have all Kimat the same Chakira when it comes to the midst of the Tilos Luluf. Do we say that absolutely nothing happens until the morning of Tezvav, when the light starts to come out, when it's Alos HaShachar and the morning of Tezvav Tishrei? That's the Mechayim of the Tilos Luluf, and the night is Mamash L'malav L'mahir. Do we say no? That the Chiyuv really kicks in theory the night before. And well, the Torah said, don't do the Chiyuv until it starts to shine the following day. So my nafkamina in terms of shibun chasim, no shibun chasim, but my nafkamina. So the Achrayim discussed the nafkamina in terms of a sugi that appears in the third parak of Maseches Sukkah, vis-a-vis Hilchos Luluf and Esrei. There is a little bit of a background to understand this. There is a din of what's called bichoy in the realm of karbonos. Those people never learned Kachim, so if they learned the first breath of Kiddushin, then they bumped into the Sig of Dichli. But it's really tangential in Kiddushin. The real Sig is in Maseches Temura. There's a sugya about Kachim called Dichli, Dichli Mekara, near Vinidcha, which means as follows. They have an animal that's supposed to be brought into carbon, and something happens to the animal in the interim that disqualifies it from being kosher to be a carbon. And then the reason for that disqualification disappears. Now I'm back to square one. Now I'm back to it being a kosher carbon again. So the question is, does the fact that at some point there was a psul that was chal on the animal, does that make a difference? Does that bother me? Right now there's nothing wrong with the animal. Right now everything is okay. So do we say that the temporary dichoy creates a psul in and of itself? It's almost like Yuchas Muktzah. Once something became Muktzah part of the day, so even though the reason for the Muktzah is no longer relevant, does the Din Muktzah continue? Or a similar type of idea. So the fact that something was Dachoy, do we say that it was only Dachoy, Kholzman, that the reason exists? Or do we say, no, once something was Dachoy, was Nitche, was pushed off of being a Korban, so then that Psul remains the Olam Vod, even if the reason for the original Psul is no longer there. So the Gemara has a whole complicated sugi about this, vis-a-vis Mumin. The halacha is that if an animal gets a mum, there's a concept called the mum oiver. Some mumim are permanent. See, an animal chopped its leg off, so it's not going to grow another leg, right? Okay, good. So, even I know that. So it's not going to grow another leg. So that's a mum kavua. But there are other mumim which are mum oiver. So it develops some kind of a scratch, some kind of a something in its eye, something in its tongue, something in its lip, that is something which right now taka is possible mishum mum. But it's going to fix itself. It's going to grow back. That blemish isn't going to be there anymore. That's what's called the mum oiver. So the din is that kimash chasam behem mum bum. The Torah says kolzman that it has a mum. Taka can't bring it as a korban. Mum bum. Ha'ovah mum is kosher. Once the mum disappears, then it becomes kosher again. So there's a concept in hilchos kosher that sometimes, if the reason of the psul disappears, so the animal becomes kosher again. So the Gemara raises the shaila. Can we derive from mumin that taka there's no din of dachoy? Means the whole din of dichoy doesn't really apply. Do we say no? Maybe mumin is different. It's exeris. So that's a whole complicated sugya and maseches tmur about the nuances and the details of this halacha of dachoy. The din of dichoy comes up in maseches yuma also. Remember, the Mishnah maseches yuma. Some people have a minig that they learned the Mishnayos of yuma throughout Yom Kippur. So anyone remember where? There's the Mishnah talks about and talked about in the end of Maseches Yuma, if you have the Shnei Se'irim, and then and you dedicated to both Se'irim, one's the Sol Hashem, one's the Sol Azazel, and then one of them dies. So now the problem is, if one of the Se'irim dies, so then you don't have the other Sawyer. I have the Sol Hashem all ready to go, but its friend, the Sol Azazel, isn't here. So I have to now bring another Sawyer. I have to do over again. I have to make a new Goyro and bring another Sar to be the Sar Lazazel. But now I'm stuck with two Seirim Lashem. So can I bring that first Sar Lashem that was set aside beforehand? So do I say that, well, once its friend died, so right now it was temporarily possible. So now the fact that I'm going to bring another, now that I'm going to be Machshirif by bringing another one, that's not going to solve the original problem. Since there was a din of Dicha that was Chal on it, so it becomes Nidch. So the Gemara in Yuma has a whole complicated story about the sugas of the Sar Lashem, Sar Lazazel, revolving around the sugas of Dicha. So what does that have to do with us? It's a nice question, topic. What does that have to do with us? So the Gemara Maseches Sukkah raises the question whether there's a concept of Dichoy Legabi Mitzvahs or not. Is this concept of Dichoy only true when we're dealing in a Chefetz of Kedush of Hektik? Or does the Sugya of Dichoy apply even in the realm of other Mitzvahs? So the Gemara says, Nai Nafkamina, the Gemara says, Chafzeh Nafkamina, in terms of Hilchos Dalad Minim. Let's say you have one of the Minim became temporarily fossil. And now that Psul no longer exists. Now that Psul somehow we were able to solve that Psul. So does the fact that at one time it was possibly Olam Vohed, do we say Yesh Dichoy Yetzal Mitzvahs, just as perhaps Yesh Dichoy Yetzal Kachim according to some? Or do we say no, that the whole concept of Dichoy is only in the realm of Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash, there's no relevance outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, what kind of a psul can you have in Dalad Minim that's only temporary? If somebody took a bite out of the Esrog, it's an Esrog HaChoser, it's not going to grow back more Esrog, it's off the tree already. So how is it ever going to be Chozel Echsheirot? If you have a luluvat split, you're not going to put it back together again. So what kind of case do you ever have where dalaminim are puzzle, but there's something you can do to remove that puzzle? So the Gemara is the famous case, the Mishnah is the famous case, if you have a hadas. If you have a hadas that has berries on it, most people never saw hadas with berries. Anyone ever here saw hadas with berries? Well, Dr. Bernie must have seen hadas with berries. You know why? In the old days, the Friya Dikadairas, So before they used to give you pre-packed hadassim. So when I grew up, it wasn't that long ago, but we used to have to check hadassim. That was, you know, that was part of the job. You have to make sure the hadassim were mishuloshim. Now nobody checks hadassim. The same way nobody fills up oil into the menorah anymore, and nobody does anything anymore. Everything is pre-made and pre-shipped, and everything is all packaged, pre-packaged olam haba, whatever you need. No one has to work for anything anymore. So in the olden days, they would throw on the table 500 hadassim, go pick your best hadassim. So some of the hadassim have berries that grow on them. Now they get rid of those hadassim. They rip the berries off beforehand because no one wants to buy hadassim with berries. Because the Mishnah says that if you have too many berries on it, so it passes the hadassim. If there are more berries than leaves, then the hadassim is possible. So the Mishnah says that even though that's true, that the hadassim is possible, but you can take the berries off. And if you pluck the berries off, then the hadassim becomes kosher again. So the Gemara has a whole shayla. What's the din in terms of dichoy? Means if the hadas was had berries on it, so b'shas ma'i said it had berries on it, it was possible. So now I'm going to remove the berries. So maybe that's a problem of sugiv dichoy. So the Gemara says it depends. That it depends whether the plucking of the berries took place before yontif, on yontif, a whole complicated sugiv in the Gemara. Because even within the din of dichoy, there are differences. There's what's called nira v'nidcha, and there's what's called dichoy me'ikara. If something at one time was kosher, and then it became nidcha, and then the reason for the dichoy is over, that's mochover, that's worse. Because it was already possible. It means it went from being kosher to being possible, then you want to become kosher again, that's more of a problem than what's called dichoy me'ikara. Dichoy me'ikara means it's never been kosher. It was possible from day one, and now all of a sudden the reason disappears, so that's better. That's less of a problem than something which is near v'nidcha v'shuv choyze v'nira. Again, this is a kachim topic. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara pilpels about these hadassim's berries. Were the berries taken off on yontif, or they taken off before yontif? What's the story? Dichem ekara, nir v'nidcha, ho chagad. So in the middle of that sugya, so Rashi has a comment that, what do you mean they were taken off before yontif? The Gemara seems to say that the cutoff point is yontif. What do you mean the cutoff point is yontif? The cutoff point should be, no pun intended, the cutoff point should be the morning of Tesvav. Whatever happens on the night of sugyas, that's like kodim achad, that's like erev yontif. So Rashi has a mashmos in that sugya that it's not true. That in the sugyas of nir v'nidcha, in terms of defining, determining, when is the tchilas achiyav, when is the mitzvah l'kach t'cham yom harishon, so it would appear that the beginning of the mitzvah l'kach t'cham yom harishon is the night of Tesvav Tishrei. So the Acharonim yes, but it's not true. L'kach t'cham yom harishon, you don't take a lulav at night, you take a lulav in the daytime. So why should we be kaveya that the tchilas azman mitzvah vis-a-vis this din of dichoy should depend on the night? So Zevin from Doi, you see from here, an unbelievable chiddush that it's already this man of mitzvah. It's rubbish parallel to Pidyon HaBen. That same way that the Rambam says that the Shibud Nechasim begins from the Shas latest Abayin, even though Lamai said no one's going to dream of doing a Pidyon HaBen for another month. The Torah says not to do Pidyon HaBen for another month, but in terms of being Kaveh, the Shas Chiyav HaMitzvah, the Shas Chiyav HaMitzvah is B'Shas latest Abayin. So who would deny when it comes to the Tilos Lulav that the Shas Chiyav HaMitzvah is really a night? Aye, Lamai, see, you're not allowed to do it. If you shake a lulav at night, you're talking about Yaitse. It doesn't matter that even though you shake a lulav at night, you're still not the Yaitse. But the Shas Chiyav HaMitzvah already kicked in, and all the dinim of Nirav and Nidch and Dochim Ekara, what's called Dochim, what's not called Dochim, is Nikva Bosa, the beginning of the Shas Chiyav HaMitzvah. So it's an interesting parallel in case you have interest in Pidyon HaBen and the relationship between Pidyon HaBen and Dalminim. So that's what it sounds like. But Lamaisa, the dinim of Dalminim are that a person is not really yaitzim. A person shook a lulav and esrog in 3 o'clock in the morning, he thought would not be yaitzim mitzvah. What would the din be? Let's say a person is such a slava, such a reason, like dimin lemitzvahs, he wants to be yaitzim mitzvah of Dalminim with the reason. So he can't even wait until the morning. So he gets up, he can't sleep the whole night. So he's sitting there at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, he's holding on to the Dalminim, holding on for dear life. He's waiting until Elas HaShacha comes. He's holding. As soon as Elas HaShacha comes, Agaval Kishmach, I'm Yaitzir Mitzvah Dalminim. He puts the Dalminim down, and he doesn't pick it up anymore. Was he Yaitzir Mitzvah? What's the Shaila? So he's holding the Dalminim. What's the Shaila? So the Gemara has a Loshon that what's the Shas Mitzvah of Dalminim? With the Agbei Nofak Bei. That's the Loshon Gemara. That the Mitzvah is the picking up of Dalminim. So the Achronim have a machloikis. What exactly does that mean when the Gemara uses that lashon? Because I use the lashon with the agbe nafik bay. Does the Gemara mean literally? It's the act of hagbah. It's lekachdem lachem. The act of lekicha is it's sitting on the table, it's sitting on the floor, and I pick it up. So it's the act of being magbiyah. That's the mitzvah of the tilus lulav. Well, this is mapitam. That's not the act of the tilus lulav. The act of the tilus lulav is that the lulav and esrog are in my hands. The fact that they're in my hands, it doesn't matter what I did a hagbah, I didn't do a hagbah. The mice, they're mukbah, me'elav. That's called an act of lekicha. So maybe we'll talk about later on above Metzia about the kidin hagbah. There's a shail also. Is the kidin hagbah accomplished by the act of hagbah? Well, let's say somebody else puts it into my hands and now it's mukbah based on what I'm holding it. Is that also considered to be a kidin hagbah? So that's a shah that Echrenim have when it comes to Netilas Lulav. So according to some Echrenim, you wouldn't be yaitzed in the Netilas Lulav. The guy who held it the whole night, until the morning, and then he puts it down. So the only way to be yaitzed in mitzvah, he would have to put it down, and then he would have to pick it up again. Because if he doesn't pick it up again, then he wouldn't be yaitzed the mitzvah. That's some Echrenim say. The Pashat Advarim is that we don't really pass like that. The Pashat Advarim is that it's considered to be a lekicha even without an actual maisa of Hagbah. The Tosfos raises a problem in a few places in Shas about the way we fulfill the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav is that it seems to run into a problem in terms of a bracha. That we have a rule in Hilchos Brachos called Mitzvah Mevarachim Ovel HaSiyachon. You always make the bracha first and then you do the mitzvah afterwards. So when it comes to Netilas Lulav, when exactly are you supposed to make the bracha? So the Gemara says, "In Agbe Nafik Bay." So the minute that you pick it up, so you're ready to eat the mitzvah. So lechayra, logic would dictate that you should make the bracha when it's on the table. So you should walk into the shul in the morning. Luv and Esrog is sitting on the table; it's in the bag. So you should make a bracha. Shirki Yisharim is on the tils luv, and then pick it up. So Taisa says that's the problem because that's what's called over the over. That's already too early. The same way the Gemara says when it comes to putting on tefillin. So the Gemara says me'emasai mevarach aleha mishasan achosan. You have to make the bracha after they're ready on your arm before you actually tie the knot. You don't make the bracha when it's in the bag. That's what Mashmal says, Gemara, Mishas and Achasim. You have to already be munach before you make the bracha. Why? Because Taisus says that there's a rule in Uchas Brachas that you have to make a bracha over Lasiyos and not over the over. It's too far away. So you're going to make a bracha of a bird for eights and the fruit is still in the store. You're going to make a mitzvah of arts and the bread's still in the oven. So it's too far away. So you have to make the bracha otat as you're holding on to the Chavtish Shom Mitzvah. So Taisus says, that's great by Lulav. I'm making the bracha. I'm sorry, that's great by tefillin. I'm making the bracha as I'm holding the tefillin. Or I'm making the bracha by tzitzis as I'm holding the begit. But when it comes to dalaminim, once I'm holding it, so then I'm already yaitzed the mitzvah. So it's a problem of kolamitzis, mevarach alim, evelasi yasim. So one of the solutions that Taisus has, and the Gras says is the deeper answer, is that of a person when he picks up the lulav, so Mustami is having in mind not to be yaitzed yet. He wants to make the bracha kedin. So it's understood when the guy picks up the lulav and asuk, he's not having in mind to be yaitzed. And then when he hears the, as soon as he makes the bracha, then at that moment he's going to have in mind to be yaitzed. So according to those Acharonim who say that there's a mitzvah of lekicha, lekicha means hagbah, so then the guy's not yaitzed. Because when he did the original hagbah, so he had in mind shalom latzeis. So that netila wasn't a good netila. So that's like the guy who was holding on to the lulav from before Lasa Shachar, and now Kumta Lasa Shachar, and it's in his hands. So he did a netila shalom b'kavan. So he wasn't yaitzeh without netila lulav. And now all of a sudden he's changing his mindset after the bracha to have in mind to be yaitzeh. So if the mitzvah would have been lekicha, just to hold it in your hand, you would be yaitzeh. But according to the Dels Acharonim, would say that you have to do a maisa netila, maisa hagbah. So this eitzah would be a problem. And this is the eitzah that the Gros says is the right answer. This is the honest answer. So it sounds that the Pashat Advarim is that we don't really hold like that side of the Hikshu. We hold that it's called a lekicha, even though you didn't do a formal hagbah, as long as it's mugvah meil, if it's lakuch biyadcha, even though you didn't do a formal official hagbah, that would be okay. What if one wants to be machna? What if one doesn't like that answer? One doesn't want to go that approach? So how do you solve the problem? So Tosis gives a few other eitzahs. So one of the eitzahs Tosis says is that you pick it up upside down, because the din is that you have to take a little bit of esrog, kederach to be losam. That the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that you're not yaitzeh a little bit of esrog if you're holding one of the minim upside down. So when you pick it up upside down, so that's not really called the lekicha yet. So when I flip it up right side up, that's the lekicha. So that would be good enough to solve the bracha problem. There is a famous tshuva in the Binyan Tzion that he was asked about the person who lives in Australia, whether he should hold his Luvin Esrog upside down. Because since the guy is in the bottom of the world, so for him, Derech De'losam is opposite. So would you say that you have to hold Luvin Esrog upside down? So the Binyan Tzion thought that was a big joke. He thought that that's not how, we're not Kaveya. The halacha is Kaveya, the world is being flat, even though it's not flat. The Binyan Tzion says, we know the world's round, but the halacha doesn't make such differences that you have to stand on your head because you're in Australia. Anyway, in case anyone's interested in that child. Okay. So Taisus then has another answer to this dilemma, the famous dilemma about lulav, how do you make the bracha? Taisus is a different answer. Taisus says that maybe the answer is that you're not going to have you utacha yotzei mid arbe nafik bay, and you can still make a bracha. Why? Because you didn't fulfill, you didn't finish the nanuin. You didn't yet shake the lulav. And shaking the lulav, that's like the gemar hamitzvah. Even though min ha-toyer, it's not ma'akim, min ha-toyer mid arbe nafik bay, but since the halacha requires of doing nanuin, So that's considered to be like as if the mitzvah hasn't been completed. And for the purposes of Vilchus Brachas, that's still considered to be over last year. So it's like we find that by other mitzvahs, that let's say we and minig is, like those we shown will say that we wash our hands first and we recite the bracha afterwards. So why do we do that? So Taisus quotes two opinions, either because sometimes a person's hands are dirty, a person just came out of the bathroom, so we can't recite the bracha. So there's a rule in Vilchus Brachas that we like to keep uniformity in Vilchus Brachas. The Gemara says that when a ger is megayer, so he has to recite the bracha after he comes out of the mikvah. He's not Jewish yet. He's not his kaddish kedushas Yisrael yet. So since he has to recite the bracha after he comes out of the mikvah, so therefore some rishonim say they were misakin for tefilas nashim also. When women go to the mikvah, they should also recite the bracha after they come out of the mikvah. Or Rashi says in Maseches Brachos, Daf Yomi, Rashi says that when a balkeri goes to the mikvah in the days of the Kanas Ezra, we spoke about yesterday, so he has to make the bracha after he comes out of the mikvah, because Balkari is not allowed to make a bracha. So just as the Balkari has to make a bracha after he comes out of the mikvah, who would deny a woman? The tefillah is needed, she's allowed to make brachas, but for uniformity, we want the bracha ala tefillah always to be post the tefillah. So come other Rishonim and say, no, that's not the reason why. The reason why we make the bracha of the first night afterwards is because the mitzvah hasn't been completed yet. Because the Gemara says that when you wash your hands and you don't dry your hands, so you didn't really fulfill the mitzvah until you're dying yet, because your hands, the water on your hands may still be tummy, it's going to be mitami, the food, the whole story. So since the tilas yadayim isn't over until the nigov, until the drying, according to some Rishonim read that Gemara, so it's still considered to be ovelas yasan. So you see, for the rules of ovelas yasan, you don't have to get to be mamish before the beginning of the mitzvah. As long as you get it in the process of the mitzvah, that's also good enough for ovelas yasan. That's what Taisus writes, that even though me'ikra din you were really yaitse the mitzvah of netilas lulav, just with picking it up, but since you didn't complete the mitzvah, that's also good enough. It's still considered to be ovelas yasan. So Taisus has a few solutions to this problem. So Kopan, getting back to our story. So the mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav, we said again, the mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav is clearly Bayom Halo Balaiva, no question about that. Whether the Lomdus is that the night is still considered to be a Shaschiyah, that's a different story. Whether a person could be Yaitzei, if you're holding him from the middle of the night into the morning, that depends on all these different days and places. It's about what the story is, what exactly the nature of the mitzvah of the Tila is. But getting back to the relationship between Lulav and Sukkah, so we said whereas Lulav, Lamais, is limited to Bayom Lobalaila, when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah, so Sukkah is clearly equally true, Baby Omeimalaila. Even though there are differences between Lulav, in contrast to Sukkah, in terms of Zmanim, both of them still qualify as mitzvah sesesh as Zman Gramo. There's no question about that, because Lulav, there's obviously only one day minat Torah, 12 hours, of course, the whole year. That's a mitzvah seshes man grama. And Sukkah is also, it's only 7 days during the whole year. So divide the mitzvah seshes man grama. So both Sukkah and Lulav are primary examples of mitzvahs that women are pterus from. There's no shayla about it. When the Gemara lists off in Maseches Kedushin in the first parak, all the mitzvah seshes man grama, all thousands of them. How many are there altogether? Right, you sometimes you hear a lot of people talk, you would think that 95% of our religion is mitzvah seshes ban grama. Then you learn the sukkah and you realize there are only six of them. The shofar, lulav, sukkah, tefillin, tzitzis, and kriyashma, those are the only ones that are for sure zman grama. Then you have machlekes rishon about tefillas ha'omer, maybe. You have machlekes amoraim about simchas yomtov, maybe. The handful, when you put together all the machlekes and everything, hakol mikol kol, you get 10, maybe. One or two with rabbanan and call it a day, whatever it is. So it gets a little bit too much hype, but in terms of lamais, it's not that many mitzvahs. But lulav and sukkah are the two real. Those are real. There's no question about it. When we say that women of pturos for the mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of sukkah, does that mean that they should still try to fulfill the mitzvah? Or do we say no? Do we say that the pturos finished? There's no reason for them to fulfill the mitzvah. So we have a klal, the Gemara has a famous klal about Gola Mitzvah V'yaseh and Misha Eina Mitzvah V'yaseh, that in the hierarchy of schar for mitzvahs, so a person who's obligated in the mitzvah gets more schar than a person who's not obligated in the mitzvah. So the Rishonim Medayek from that Lashon, the Gemara doesn't say that the person who's not obligated gets nothing. The Gemara just says it's not quite on par with the Gola Mitzvah V'yaseh. So it's based on that the Rabbeinu Tam developed this idea that that even though a person is not really chayiv in a particular mitzvah, but if they want to volunteer to do that mitzvah, that's a good thing. It's a positive thing. And they consider to get schar for doing that mitzvah. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam said, so we have no problem with women volunteering to do mitzvahs, even though they're pturos on those mitzvahs. And they get a mitzvah, get a ena mitzvah yaisa. It's not a mitzvah yaisa, but it's pturos ena mitzvah yaisa. Then Rabbeinu Tam went one step further. Rabbeinu Tam said, not only is it a nice thing, but a woman could even recite a bracha on it, because in order to recite a bracha, she can dishana mitzvah yisev tzivanu, so you don't have to be a mitzvah yaisa, as long as it's a mitzvah, it relates to you, you're also a, you're a quasi mitzvah, not a real mitzvah, you're an eda mitzvah yaisa, that's good enough in order to make the statement, asher ki dishana mitzvah yisev tzivanu. So the Ran adds on a little bit to Rabbeinu Tam. The Ran says, the fact that you're an eda mitzvah yaisa, that in of itself is not going to warrant reciting a bracha. That's not going to justify making a bracha. The bracha's nusach is asher ki dishana mitzvayse v'tzivanu. It's very hard to touch up the word v'tzivanu if it's not mitzvah v'yoseh. So how can you explain away Rabbeinu Tam? How can you justify reciting a bracha if you're not mechuyev? So the Ran says, you have to revamp what the bracha means. Asher ki dishana mitzvayse v'tzivanu means that it's a lashon klal Yisrael. That means we, as the Jewish people, were given a mitzvah of the tilas lulav. Am I personally chayiv in the tilas lulav? Happens to be not. I'm a woman, so I happen not to be chayiv. But I'm still asher kedushanu. I still have kedushas Yisrael. Women have the same kedushas Yisrael as men do. They said it the same rasin as the men did. Asher kedushanu mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs. And vitzivanu means we, as members of klal Yisrael, the Jewish people as a whole, were given the mitzvah of the tilas lulav. Even though I personally happen to be potter from that tour from that mitzvah. So that's how the Ran touches up Rabbeinu Tam a little bit to justify a woman reciting brachas, even though she's Petura. And the Rambam didn't buy into that justification. The Ram says, not true. The Ram says, you want to do the mitzvah, because in the hey, to make a bracha, it's mamash a bracha levatala. So it's machlekes the Ram and Rabbeinu Tam. It's machlekes the Mechaber and the Ramah. So I'm minig Ashkenazim, I'm the minig of Rabbeinu Tam, that we encourage women to do mitzvahs that they're Peturas from, and we even encourage them to recite brachas. We have no qualms, we have no problems of reciting brachas, even on mitzvahs that they're Peturas from. We had a funny story on the first day of Shoshana. So usually 20 minutes after the davening's over, so we have a second tekiyas for all the women who couldn't make it, washing the kids. So their husbands run home, and the women come to hear tekiyas shofar. So usually what we do is I have one of the women who didn't hear tekiyas, so she recites the bracha on behalf of everybody else. The Baal Tekeh can't recite the bracha over again, because he was already yaitzei the mitzvah. Even though normally, if a Baal Tekeh was blowing later in the day for a man, he technically can recite the bracha for the man, because since the man is chayiv in tekiyas shofar, so the bracha has the status of birchas hamitzvah, so it's a din of arvos, and the man is still, the Baal Tekeh is still called like a mechuyev b'dov. That's a beferish gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the poskim point out that's only true if you're blowing for a man. If you're blowing for a woman, so the woman is not chayiv in the first place. So if she wants to volunteer make a bracha, that's fine, but I can't make the bracha for her, because from her vantage point, she's an ena mitzvah yaseh. How can you say Yatzah Maitzi? How can you say this? Arvus. Arvus means I have to make sure that all men in the world hear shofar. I'm not mechuyev to make sure all Jewish women in the world hear shofar. I have no such chiyuv. She's not mechuyev, so what's my chiyuv? So how can I justify making a bracha on a woman for a woman who already heard it? So that's what the practice is that the women themselves have to make the bracha. So you don't have to have every woman make the bracha. One woman will get up and make the bracha to be made to everybody else. So I usually ask before they blow, so I always ask them, who here didn't hear any of the kailas? Because very often, some of the women came in at the end of shul, they popped in Musaf time, so they heard some of the tekiyas, they heard the tekiyas. You have to Shemoneh Esrei, you have to Musaf. So the din is, as we spoke about before Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to hear all 100 kailas to be yetzeh. So if a woman heard any permutations of anything, so she most probably was yetzeh ready. Especially according to Rav Haigon. According to Rav Haigon, you yetzeh any three sets of anything. One tashrat, one tashat, one anything you yetzeh. So I always say, which women didn't hear anything? So one of the women said that I did hear, I heard when I was walking into shul, because we blow after davening's over, after everybody leaves, so those few people want to hang around, so we blow a couple of hooked shvarims and a couple of funny things here and there, just the liesos eis, those who want to hear different chumers of kolos. So one of the women said that I heard all the funny stuff. I heard all the, she said, she called it the practice tekiyas. It wasn't the practice tekiyas. It was different things we were blowing. So she said, I heard the practice tekiyas. So I said, uh-oh, it's not so posh, maybe you're yaitzeh ready. She said, but I had in mind not to be yaitzeh. I said, wow, what a lumdus, mamish. So I said, okay, if you had in mind not to be yaitzeh, then you are yaitzeh, you can still make the bracha. So she made the bracha for everybody. Anyway, getting back to this story. So we have no qualms with women reciting brachas on mitzvah. That's what I'm meaning, is I can bring it down. We have a few mitzvahs that we have a messiah, dafka women should not make brachas on, and they dafka should not volunteer to do. So we said that in the past, we spoke about this many times, the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin, for different reasons, another time, another place, that tzitzis is a mitzvah that women should not be doing, and they should not be reciting brachas on, and tefillin is a mitzvah that the Ramah says, meichem biyadu, we're supposed to stop them from putting on tefillin, for other variety of reasons, they should not be reciting brachas, or not even putting on tefillin without a bracha, is manazeh. But when it comes to other mitzvahs, we're okay. Other mitzvahs, we're all right. We have no problem. Let the women do the mitzvahs. They want to do the mitzvahs, do the mitzvahs. So sukkah and lulav fall into those categories. The mitzvahs that we encourage women to do, and we're happy if they do it, and we tell them they can make a bracha. We have no problems with them reciting a bracha. It would appear even from the days of the Gemara that at least under certain circumstances, the women sat in the sukkah. The Gemara in the days of Masechah Sukkah tells the story about Hilni Amalka and all her children. She had seven sons. They were sitting in the sukkah. So you get the impression that the women sat in the sukkah, even Bisman Chazal. But nevertheless, there is a somewhat of a problem because there's one Tana in the end of Masechah Rosh Hashanah that says that when you have a mitzvah that women are pturos from, so they dafka should not volunteer to do that mitzvah. The Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of smichas hakarbonos. The Gemara says that when you bring a korban, so very often there's a mitzvah of smich, you have to lean on the korban. The Gemara darshins in Masechus Kedushin, b'nei Yisrael somchim v'yei b'nos Yisrael somchis. That women don't do that mitzvah of smicha. Even a woman brings a korban, the korban shalom, there's no chiyuv of smicha. What if she wants to volunteer to do smicha? So the Gemara quotes a machlok, is she allowed or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says, nashim not allowed to be somchis. They're not allowed to lean on the korban. And Rabbi Yosi says, Nashim Samchas Rishus, that if they want, they're allowed to lean on the Korban. They're not Mechuyiv to, if they want, they're allowed to. So what's the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are they fighting about? So this Machlokes Rashi and Tosis, what exactly Rabbi Yehuda's problem was? What was his issue? Why did Rabbi Yehuda say that a woman is not even allowed to volunteer to do Smicha? So Rashi says, when a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah she's Ptura from, it's Baltoisiv. She's adding on to the mitzvah. The Torah gave her 607 mitzvahs, and now she's adding on another mitzvah. So that's like a man adding on to mitzvahs. You know how to do that? So that's the violation of Baltoisiv. So Tosis writes, Baltoisiv? What is Baltoisiv? It's not Baltoisiv. Tosis says the reason why Rabbi Yehuda said that you can't lean on the korban is because every time you lean on a korban, it looks like you're riding the korban. It looks like you're using the korban. There's an issa deraisa mevayde b'kodesh mosav b'choshereche. Not allowed to work an animal that's kodesh. Not allowed to take a ride on an animal that's kedusha. That's a korban. So when a person is chayiv in smicha, so what are you going to do? So the Torah says you have to do it, you got to do it. So you're leaning, you're supporting your whole weight on the carbon. Okay, that's what the Torah says. But if nobody asks you to do it anyway, you want to volunteer to do it, what do you mean you're going to volunteer to do it? You're going to volunteer to do a mitzvah that you're not supposed to, you're not mechuyav to do at the expense of doing an aveira that you have no right to do. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's problem with smicha. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, it was a generalized fear, a generalized chashash of its baltoisiv. And according to Tosfos, it has nothing to do about Tosfos. It has to do with a very, very unique problem in the realm of smicha, avodah b'kodeshim. So one of the rayas that Tosfos brings against Rashi is from the story of Hilni Amalka, that the Gemara says in Sukkot Daf Beis that Hilni Amalka was sitting in the she was eating in the sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda appears in that braisa. Rabbi Yehuda also agreed that she was eating in the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum had a machlokes based on the sukkah of Hilni Amalka. It was at a sukkah l'mal michaf, not l'mal michaf. The whole first sukkah in the Beis Masechah Sukkah revolved around Hilni Amalka sukkah that the Chum apparently didn't criticize her for, even though it may have been above 20 amos. Whatever, whole complicated sukkah in the Gemara. So comes Tosfos and says, how could Rabbi Yehuda sanction women sitting in the sukkah? If Rashi is right, that any time a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah that she's pturah from, so that smacks about toitziv, so that's only with smichas hakarbonos. That would be true by all mitzvahs. So Rabbi Yehuda should say, women can't shake a lulav, women can't hear shofar, women can't sit in sukkahs, and it's not true. The Gemara said the favorish that Rabbi Yehuda sanctioned the woman sitting in the sukkah. So you see that we're right, says Tosfos. You see, there's no baltoisiv here, it's just a quirk of hilchas kutchim, and it has nothing to do with any other mitzvahs in the Torah. So what's Pshat and Sheet is Rashi? According to Rashi, how could Rabbi Yehuda, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like Rabbi Yosi. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, how could Rabbi Yehuda permit a woman to sit in the sukkah? It should be a shayla of Baltoisiv. So perhaps the answer is, based on something we spoke about last year, about the Shittas at Ramah. The Ramah is a famous akula in terms of taste for getting taduru. The Ramah said that if a husband wants to sleep in the sukkah and his wife isn't interested in sleeping in the sukkah, either she's not interested in camping out because she's just not interested in camping out, or maybe the sukkah is not such a makam tanua, maybe it's a public shul sukkah, so it's not practical for her to sleep there. For whatever reason, the wife's not sleeping in the sukkah, so the Ramah says that the married man isn't obligated to sleep in the sukkah. Why? Because sukkah is supposed to be teish for kein taduru. And normally, a married man sleeps in the same room as his wife, So if you sleep in a way that's not that fulfillment, then it's not really, you're not really mechuyev in the midst of sukkah. That's a chiddush gadol of the Ramah. So many of the Acharim disagree. The Gra disagrees. The Ram could be most of the Acharim disagree with the Ramah, but the Ramah had this big chiddush. The Teish Regain Tadura means that if your wife can't join you, so you're not considered to be yaitze your din of dira. So if that's the case, then maybe one could defend Shitas Rashi based on the following. When it's true that in theory, a woman shouldn't be volunteering to do mitzvahs. But here, when the woman is volunteering to sit in the sukkah, she's not doing b'teres her mitzvah. It's part of his mitzvah. It means his mitzvah of teish forget to do to be b'shlemusa requires his wife to be there. So the Ramah is talking about sleeping. One can extend it to eating also. That to tell the woman, you have to sleep in, you have to eat in the house. But I eat with my wife every meal. We always eat together. Shabbos, Yom Tov, we always eat together in the same room. So you're going to tell me I have to eat in the house and she has to eat outside. I have to eat in the sukkah. She's got to eat in the house because otherwise she's going to be in violation of Al-Tosif. So she's not doing it b'teres al-safa al-mitzvahs. She's doing it b'teres her husband's chiyuv. So she has to join her husband in order for him to fulfill his din of dira in the proper manner. So it would be a tremendous chiddush. If that's the case, so then let's say it's a single girl. So if it's, let's say, my daughter, so maybe that's also a shtickle teish we can do. I always eat my Shabbos meal, my Yom Tov meal with my kids together. So you can tell all the girls have to go into the house. So that would also be a shtar, maybe, if teish we can do, or maybe. But what if it's not my daughter? It's not a single girl. She wants to know. She wants to go in balance. She wants to take a pizza out to the sukkah on a third day chalamon. She's in Hershey Park. She wants to eat a pizza in the sukkah. So according to this day in Rashi, maybe that would be a problem. It would be a problem about Tosif. So we don't hold like this Rashi. We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. So the whole thing is a moot child. The whole thing is irrelevant. L'halacha. We pass in women, married women, single women, anyone, all women can go into the sukkah whenever they want. They can make a bracha. We have no qualms with going to the sukkah making a bracha. But according to Shitas Rashi, with Das Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't pass in like, so one could suggest that maybe when a woman comes in b'teres to enhance the chiv of the men, so maybe that's that wouldn't be considered to be a hosafa. It's like Moshel Mod of Adayim. Sometimes you have a situation where somebody has to do something, but they're not doing it b'teres themselves. They have to participate in a certain mitzvah in order to enhance the mitzvah for other people. So there is a sugya in the Gemara, Maseches Kedushin, Maseches Hashanah, about the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. So Simchas Yom Tov is a funny mitzvah because on the one hand it's a mitzvah Esei Shezman Grola, it's time-bound mitzvah. On the other hand, the Torah says that women have to participate. So it's a Samachta, Ato, Vincha, Vitecha, Abdecha, Vamasecha, Yafimusimech, Yamonas, everyone has to come and join the Simcha. So Gemara says, how could that be? But it's a mitzvah Esei Shezman Grola. So there's a machlekes amaraim as to what the answer to that problem is. So one of the amaraim says that this is an exception to the rule. Matzah is also an exception to the rule. And Kiddush and Shabbos is also an exception. Hakal is also an exception. So this is an exception to the rule that even though it says man grama, women are chayavos. And other amaraim say, no, it's not an exception to the rule. Women are not really chayavos in Simchas Yom Tov. So what does the Gemara mean? It says, isha baila mesamcha. The chiyav is on the husband to be mesamech his wife. The Gemara says, Amana ma'ikal ma'ima. What if it's an Amana? And the Amana also says, that's the simcha. Vishri Netzla, the Gemara says, it's a chi of simcha. And those people who have the Amana in their house, in their community, in their neighborhood, they have to be mesamech the Amanas on Yom Tov. So, what kind of halach is that? Isha baila mesamcha. What exactly does that mean? So, there's a mashmos of Rashi in a few places where it sounds like Rashi is saying as follows. Isha baila mesamcha means that's a chi of my simcha. Means I have to make sure that my wife is happy because that enhances my simcha. It should enhance my simcha. The Rambam writes that the greatest simcha is when you misameach other people. So I have a lot of people who I'm responsible to make sure that they're happy. I have to make sure my kids are happy. I make sure my wife's happy. I make sure the amman is happy. The shvach is happy. I have to make sure anyone who's within my control to make them happy. I have to misameach them because otherwise I can't sit down to my yontif suit. What's my simcha's yontif going to look like if I'm not misameach other people? So that's. The men or the women have to come along. Nebuch, the daughters also have to come to Six Flags. They don't really want to, but otherwise it's going to shtem. My Simchas Yom Tov. If I'm not mesamech them, so then I'm going to lose my chi of Simchas Yom Tov. So that's a very different role of Simchas Yom Tov. They want to be moichal in their Simchas Yom Tov. Okay, revamp the Simchas Yom Tov. It's a different story. So I'll come upon him. You have this similar kind of idea that according to the Ramah, when the wife is sitting in the sukkah, she's not eating b'toras atzma. She's eating it b'toras enhancing the husband's chiyuv. It's like Isha Masayah, the Puruvu, we spoke about this last year, is that her chiyuv is to make sure the husband gets yaitzi his chiyuv. It's not a chiyuv b'fnei atzma. So I call upon him, however you slice it, women are p'toras mikradin, both from sukkah and from lulub. If they want to volunteer, they can volunteer. They want to make a bracha, they can make a bracha. So I thought maybe we just end off a little bit, just divrei chizav, divrei sairis. So it's a very strange minhag Yisrael at the very, very end of Yom Kippur. That's the minhag of blowing shofar. Doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. It's a blowing shofar. It's a Yom Kippur. So the Rishonim had so many problems with this minhag. Sometimes people enter davening a little bit before the Zman. The Shalom blowing shofar on Yom Kippur Shalom Kedin. You may come to carry the shofar. It's a Shavus. Ben HaShmoshos. It created a whole problems at the Aloha of blowing shofar. And the Rishonim are not really sure, why are you blowing for? Where does it come from? So some Rishonim have very, very mundane understandings of why you're blowing shofar on Matzah Yom Kippur. So Tosfos writes in one place, it's just to tell people Yom Kippur's over, they should go home and eat. That's basically it. It's like the siren on Erev Shabbos, the Tosfos Shabbos are starting, this is the blowing that Yom Tov's over. Others give more mystical, esoteric reasons. It's to accompany the Shechina back to the... you say Hashem Elokim seven times, the same we say Lamatzech and the Kerch Mizbah seven times, there are seven Rikiyas, the Shekhinah comes down, the Shekhinah goes back up, Elokim Bistru, Hashem Elokim Shofar, it's somehow the accompanying of the Shekhinah back to its place, a very, very different kind of a reason. And then other Taisa's quotes from the Gaonim, a third reason why we blow Shofar on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, it's a Zechel Yovel, because Taka is Mansha Yovel Noyeg, that we blow Shofar on Yom Kippur. So Tosfos writes, yeah, but they only blew shofar once every 50 years. They don't blow shofar every year of the cycle. They only blow cross and drove Baruch Hashem. They only blew shofar on once every 50 years. Only b'shas ha'yovel. So Im Kain, we should only blow shofar once every 50 years. So that's not the reason. Tosfos says, can't believe that's the reason. But Lamaise they go in, I think Rav Haigon, if I'm not mistaken, says that's the reason. That's what many people say. It's supposed to be a zechet to the kia shofar of yovel. I thought it was a very strange thing. And of all the mitzvahs, of all the things we make, we don't have a yovel anymore. There's no sadas chos lebailim anymore. There's nothing. So my high that somehow the rishayim, the ge'onim, somebody instituted this idea of making a zeichet, a yovel, and tafta, the blowing of the shofar, a punk at the end of Matzah Yom Kippur, somehow significant in terms of yovel. So the Torah says about the fear shofar, shas ha'yovel, cross him, draw bar to Chol Yashveh. Famous pasuk from the Haggadah, Liberty Bell. Cross him, draw bar to Chol Yashveh. What does the word draw mean? Liberty, freedom. So Rashi quotes on Chumash. What does draw mean? It comes from a lashon of what? Lashon of dira. Adam dar b'chamakam shereitzah. That a person is draw. A person is free. That means he lives wherever he wants to live. He's not subject to living in a particular place. Cross him, draw bar. Wherever he wants to go, he can choose where he wants to go. So why is that phrase across from Dror Ba'aretz Tavka for the Eved Ivri who's about to leave? So for the last 50 years or so, as long as he's been in Eved Ivri, he's been Ki Ahev Chav Yes Beisecha Ki Tov Leimach. He's been the base of Adam. That's basically what an Eved is. Eved becomes part of the family, physically lives in the house of the Adam, and Ki Ahev Chav Yes Beisecha becomes Mamash Ben Bayis of the Adam. And he's Mechulim to live with the Adam. The Adam needs him to work. Ki Mishnes Chas Socha Varech HaShishom. He needs him to work Bayayim, Balayla. He can't live in his own house anymore. He's got to be available to Adam 24 hours a day. So the Kriyas Dror of Yovel makes the declaration. The declaration is, up until now, you were forced to live in the base of Adam. Now you can go in free. You're a free bird. Go literally, go live wherever you want. Kriyas Dror Ba'aretz. So the person is given this unbelievable call to freedom. So the question is, so where does he go? Where does he choose to live? Chazal say that the person who sold himself as an Eved Ivri violated a basic fundamental yisod in Avodas Hashem. He violated the very essence of what Avodas Hashem is all about. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodayim v'lo avodim le'avodim. When a person is an Eved to Vosav Adam, you cannot possibly be an Eved to two entities at the same time. So if you sell yourself as an Eved to somebody else, to a human being, the male that's going to be a pagam in your Avodas Hashem. The sign, the hochocha, so to speak, that the person is not really an Eved Hashem, that he's become part of the household of the Adam, at the moment that he chooses that I don't even want to go free, after 6 years are up, I want to remain further, I want to remain as an Eved even longer, so where do we take him? We take him to the doorpost. Mamash at the doorpost of the house, so we say to him, okay, you chose to remain an Eved, you want to remain in the base of Adon, so we're gonna pierce your ear. Eizen Sheshamal Har Sinai, Libnei Yisrael Avadu Lavadu Lavadim, Tiratz B'fnei Habayis. So Chazal say that it's a Zeichet in Amachas Becheres, that you missed the Tui Bnei Yisrael Avadim of Amachas Becheres, So we say to the person, you misunderstood. You think that your house, you think that your place is in the base of Adon. So here's you're going to stay until the Yovel. But come the Yovel, and the Torah says, no matter what you chose, you wanted to be a Yirtza, you want to get your ears pierced, you want to stay as part of the base of Adon, there comes a point where every Jew's got to go free. Every Jew's got to be drawer. The Kriya's drawer, the Lashon of Dar B'chamakam Sheroitzeh, is the antithesis of the Ritzia of the Eved Ivri. The Ritzia of the Eved Ivri takes place in the base of Adon, because he's being machnas himself for the next 50 years or so into the base of Adon, and comes the Kriya's drawer and says, Adkan V'lo Yoyser, you have to leave the base of Adon. So he leaves the base of Adon. He's free. He's free like a bird. The question is, where does he go? So the answer is, we know exactly where we want him to go. We say to the person at the end of Yovel, come to Yom Kippur of Yovel, beginning of Yovel, we say to him, up until now you've been living in the base of Adam, now is time to literally come home. Now what does coming home mean? Shifti beveis Hashem kodechai. You now welcome back to the base Hashem. Kozman that you were an Evet to Bas of Adam, you couldn't possibly live in the base Hashem. When you're living in a base Bas of Adam, you can't live in the base Hashem. Now that you have that ability to leave the base Ha'adon, now come back to where you belong. Isha Mishpachta, Tishma, come back to the base Hashem. That imagery of calling a person back and saying, listen, Atkan, you've been living somewhere else, and now it's time to come back to the base Hashem. That pointed imagery, how appropriate is that? B'shas Ne'ilah. B'shas Ne'ilah is the Shas Ne'ilah Sash'arim. So it's the time when the gates of Beis Hashem are being closed. The gates both in the Beis Hashem Shalmata, it's the time the Gemara has two different understandings of what the Shas Ne'ilah is. The Shas Ne'ilah, the closing, the locking of the gates in the Beis Hamikdash, or is the gates of Mala. Whether you're talking about physical gates of Beis Hashem, whether you're talking about spiritual gates of Beis Hashem, it's the same notion that when you lock the door, that's the time when someone's getting ready, they're fidgeting with the lock, they're about to close the door, you have to decide which side of the door you want to be on. Do you want to be inside or do you want to be outside? And we say to the Eved Ivri, it's now Shas Ne'ilah. It's the time where you have to decide where your new house is going to be. You have such opportunity now. You're no longer Meshubah to the base of Adon. It's over. That existence is over. Now quickly decide, where do you want to go? Across from Jerob Ba'aretz Chashro, where are you going to go? Now it's time to come back. It's a time, the Shas Ne'ilah is a time of deciding where you want your new home to be. That's the Kriya's Drum Bars. Apropos, that at the time when Yom Kippur is over, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, is calling out to each and every Jew, as it's Eis Ne'ilah Shar, Pischal Lishar, Eis Ne'ilah Shar, as the gates are closing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the gates are going to be closed, but you could be on the inside. You don't have to be on the outside. You can be on the inside. That's the Avodah of Yom Kippur. To say, the gates are locking, but we're going to be inside, because we're going to be the Shifti B'Veis Hashem. Perhaps, it's for this reason that the Minig Yisrael is that Ne'ilah begins the way Ne'ilah ends. It ends with Tekiyah Shofar, because Tekiyah Shofar is the declaration of Kriyas Drah B'Aretz L'Chol Yoshveiha. It's the call to come back to the Beis Hashem, to leave the Beis Adon and come back to the Beis Hashem. And the opening words of Ne'ilah, Asher Yoshev Yisrael. That's what it works. Ashrei doesn't really belong by Ne'ilah. Ashrei really belongs by Mincha. So there's a technical reason we don't say it there. We have a mafsik, kunsim. But Lamaisa, every chazan knows that Ashrei Yoshev Yisrael of Ne'ilah is a special Ashrei Yoshev Yisrael. And that's the whole theme of Ne'ilah. In Cain, then we have a whole new dimension as to why Daf, at this time of the year, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu has told us we have to make that decision, B'shas Tekiyah Shofar of Ne'ilah. We have to decide which side of the gate we want to be on. Do we want to live with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Do we want to live chutz from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Do we want to be a free bird out of the Beis Hashem? Or do we want to return back to our roots, to Ish Mishpachta Teshuvah, back to the Beis Hashem? So now we understand the very first mitzvah that's given to us immediately after Yom Kippur is you have to start building the sukkah. What is the mitzvah of sukkah if not the building of Beis Hashem? It's building the possibility for the Shekhinah to come into this world and to be inside the Beis Hashem. And what's the key word? Everything that the entire sukkah, everything, all the mitzvah sukkah revolves around last year's shir. What is it? A sukkah is teshvu. It's teshvu ke'ein taduru. It's a lashon of dira. It means that you have to decide what your standards of life are going to be. What's your dira going to be? Am I going to be a dar b'Beis Hashem or going to be a dar b'chutz b'Beis Hashem? Am I going to be someone who's living inside my big houses, inside my gashmir's house, inside my Beis HaAdam? You know, Beis HaAdam, doesn't only mean a human being who's an adam. People are mishubadim, people who are avadim to a lot of things. People are avadim to their money, and they're avadim to their taivas, and to their gaivas, and to their covet. People have a lot of avdus. Kump the time for the ilah and freeze the bonds. Now my shackles are off. I'm a free man. Where do I go? The first place that goes into my sukkah. The first place I go is I declare that across some drawer of Oretz, I was given a choice by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, given the opportunity to be dar wherever I want, and that makom tivu that I choose is going to be dafka besukas teshuv shibiz yomim teshuv gainted. So hopefully we should be zoicha to make the right decisions as the days come close to Neila, coming closer and closer and closer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the prophecy of Dishmaya to make that decision and make sure when the gates are closed, which side of the gate we're on. Make sure we're in the Beis Hashem, the shifty Beis Hashem. Okay, wish everybody a Gemach Sim Toiv and a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. We'll look at our super schedules. Anyone, okay, say that email. Anyone's around for super time, we'll see if we'll have a little share something. I'm not sure what.